Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our other web address is paulsevangel.com. They both go to the same place. You can go there and get all the same goodies. You can download these programs for free, play them, burn them the CD, put them on your iPod, and we pray that you go back there and listen. And open your Bible and study along with us. We have available also at our website some great study tools, the Concordant Literal New Testament, the Concordant Commentary, and we also have the book of the man that's with us again today, Mr. Martin Zender.
Thank you for the invitation to come to Chicago. It's always a treat until I actually drive through Chicago.
That's exactly right. We have two seasons here. We have winter and road construction. That's it.
That's
now,
right.
For those of you listening in the Carolinas, down there in Alabama and Mississippi in the South, you really need to get a little culture and get up here in the middle of January.
Yeah, big time culture I saw yesterday in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, anyways, your book is entitled "How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette." Why don't you tell me a little about that? Should I go out and buy a pack of Lucky Strikes today, or what?
Well, you can only be, people ask me, well, what about if I smoke a cigar? I say, no, it's just cigarettes. You can only be free from sin while smoking a cigarette. No, the big joke is plug in your own weakness here. The subtitle of the book is The Book for People with Weaknesses. And so how to be free from sin while eating 5 chocolate bars. You know, that's my weakness. Or while lusting after the opposite sex. Nobody out there is doing that. Not that I'm accusing anybody of ever doing
that. What you don't realize, Martin, is my audience out there, they are free from sin. Actually, they don't sin anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should have them on the show.
Yeah,
tell
for those of you
done,
who are without
fantastic sin,
do me a favor, give us a call and tell us so we can take pictures of you and put it on the website.
the shocking word in the title is while.
Yes.
And we talked about earlier this week that Paul declared the Romans free from sin. And then he said, okay, now that you're free from sin, let's talk about this little nagging problem you have in the flesh. And so the beauty of that is now, if we want to do the right thing, we can, quote, work on it, unquote, without any condemnation. I mean, you're already, God's already smiling on you. You can't do anything to screw it up. So now that just gives you a total at-peace feeling, and this is what produces you wanting to live a good life. You actually want to serve a God who is this gracious with you.
You pointed it out that Paul says here in Romans 8, quoting again from Concordant Version, nothing consequently is now condemnation to those who are living a perfect life.
Oh, read it. I don't remember saying it. I think you got that wrong there. Read that again. I think you screwed up that big time.
Nothing consequently is now condemnation. Notice the word now.
Yeah.
Nothing consequently is now.
While smoking a
cigarette. Now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. You can't do anything to get in Christ Jesus.
This is a radical walk of faith.
Now, notice this. It says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians? Yet you of him are in Christ Jesus.
So we're in. We're in Christ
Jesus. We're in Christ
Jesus. What did we do to get in Christ Jesus?
We did nothing.
How did that happen?
Because God, through his Son, Christ died for our sins.
Yeah.
He was entombed. He was roused again the third day according to the Scriptures. And God gave us the faith to believe that message.
It is as if God saw all of us in Christ. Isn't that what Paul says in Romans 6? We talked about that yesterday. We died with Christ. When Christ died, God saw us and associated us with Christ in his death. So God now considers us to have died. And Paul deals with it. He goes, yet I live.
Yet I live.
I died with Christ and yet I live. But living in me is Christ.
Yes.
And so we're walking and we're talking. What do you mean you died with Christ? You're still alive. But the fact is that God looks upon me as if I had died with Christ. There's one important fact we're missing in dying with Christ. Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
Without our sins.
Now notice in Romans 6, I highlighted these words. It says we are entombed together with Christ. We were planted together in the likeness of his death. We were crucified together with him. We died together with Christ, and we shall be living together with him. Notice these phrases, together with. We are so intertwined with Christ is that you can't even separate us from him.
God sees us through him. God sees us through him.
Exactly. Now, I was quoting this verse to you earlier here when we were talking before we were recording, and I was quoting this, and Paul tells us this. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, clean out then the old leaven. And leaven is a reference to some form of sin or evil, right?
Right.
Clean out then the old leaven. Now, we're not denying that believers should want to so-called improve, right? We're not denying that.
No, we're not.
But what are we telling them?
You tell them what we're telling them.
Well, it says here, we're telling them.
Because I don't know what exactly are we telling them
is that it's not the cleaning out process or trying to, you know, like there are many things in my life I want to change. Some of us have a bad temper. We want to work on that. But we don't work on that in order to find acceptance or to get free from
sin.
We're accepted first.
That's the radical difference.
Clean out then the old leaven that ye may be a fresh kneading according as you are unleavened. What is Paul saying? What is your position? You are unleavened.
Yeah, fact. You are fact. Yeah,
condition. Clean out the old leaven. It's like saying clean the car that's already clean. Right?
Right.
It's be as you are.
Right.
And so this is the point. We are already in Christ, free from sin. We died with him. Sin is not an issue. It shall not have dominion over us. Why? Because we are not under law, but under grace. This is positional truth. And this is what your book brings out. The fact that we are freed from sin. I'm going to read, if you don't mind, page 46 and 47. This is another chapter in Martin's book. And it says, it's called Objective Truth. Paul, and this is what Martin says. I almost confused you with Paul for a minute. Have you ever heard
That's understandable.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of objective truth? Objective truth doesn't care what you think about it. See, this is the point.
Right.
It's not what we think that matters. That's Martin Zender's definition. Random House defines objective this way: not affected by personal feelings or prejudice, based on facts, unbiased. Did you hear that? It's based on facts. And if you read Romans 6, objective truth is based on facts.
Right.
And I'm going off the quote you quoted. I stopped quoting Martin's book here. Martin said again, he quoted, what is objective truth? It's something that is based on facts. It has nothing to do with your prejudices. Notice in Romans 6, Paul, he starts off by, there's a question. Should we be persisting in sin that grace may be increasing? Paul says, may it not be coming to that. We who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it?
Right.
What's the answer to that? How shall we still be living in it? The answer is you can't. He goes on to explain how you can't. Or are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? Now, it doesn't say baptized into water. This has no water in it.
No.
We then were entombed together with him through baptism into death. Notice Paul's giving us the facts. A question is asked, should we be persisting in sin? Paul gives you an answer. He says you can't do it. And then he says, well, here's why. He's giving you the facts. In verses 4 to 10 of Romans 6, the facts are given. This is objective truth. We are entombed together. We were planted together. We are crucified together with him. We died with him, so we are justified from sin. So the whole thing. In Romans 6, 4 to 11, the facts are presented. And then what does he tell us to do? Verse 11 of Romans 6, thus you also be reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, yet living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take these objective facts and reckon them true.
And when he says, how shall we still be living in it? It's a matter of sin consciousness. I don't think Paul could possibly be saying here that you are going to reach a point in your life where you do not sin anymore. He's talking about a consciousness. Where is your disposition? Are you disposed to the things of the flesh, or are you disposed to the things of the spirit? And when he says in verse 4, how should we still be living in sin? What he means is there are some people who are outwardly righteous. They look like they're walking a perfect walk, and yet they're living in sin because they get up in the morning thinking about sin, thinking about how not to sin, thinking about what can I do to get out of this sin. That is living in sin. And you can be living in sin while appearing righteous, and you can actually have the righteousness of God while appearing not to be living such a good life. I use David as an example. There's a person who obviously had flaws in the flesh, and yet he anticipates this grace. He doesn't know it completely because he doesn't have Paul's letters, and yet God says concerning David, here's a man after my own heart. What this frees you to do is to follow God's heart, to concentrate on the happy God, to not look at yourself in the mirror every day and cry because you can't do what you want to do. This frees you from all that. You begin to dance. You begin to feel lighter. You might literally dance. And all this does is it takes you away from a self-consciousness, it puts you into a God consciousness, and it is this that is going to have power to deliver you from the actual sins in your life that are nagging the daylights out of you. You're not going to overcome these nagging bad habits by fighting the bad habits. You overcome them by ignoring them. When's the last time you were told that? On a Christian radio station. Ignore your bad habits. Do not worry about your sin. I tell that to people. How can you say that? Paul says in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. And it's by not worrying, as Dan read from the Concordant Commentary, this has more power. The knowledge that you are delivered from condemnation and guilt, and that God is smiling at you, and that He's going to love you no matter what you do, this has more power than the stone tablets that came down from Mount Sinai. Take the tablets off your wall. The law is a dispensation of condemnation and death. It was not meant to produce righteousness. It was meant to drive you in helplessness to a Savior. And that's what we're driving you toward today.
You made a comment here. You know, I almost wanted to stop and pause because that was some fantastic stuff. You had made a comment, living in the flesh is trying not to sin.
Yes,
The way, Romans 7, and when I was in the Christian religion, and now I have Christ, when I was in the Christian religion, I was told that to be in the flesh means to be an unsaved man. But Paul says in Romans 7:5, for when we were in the flesh, he's referring to a Jewish man, for when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins which were through the law operated in our members to be bearing fruit to death. To be in the flesh is not to be an unsaved person or an unbeliever. It's to be a man trying to please God through law.
Isn't that?
That's the flesh. And when Paul says in Romans 6, shall we continue, how shall we who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it? The answer is you can't.
Right.
Because you've died with Christ.
Mm-hmm. No more condemnation to those in Christ Jesus.
And stop trying to rebuild what God has put down.
In order to die to self, I've been told that for years, you have to die to self. In order to do that, you have to dig yourself back up, because we are considered dead with Christ, crucified with Christ. If you're going to work on your flesh, you have the grisly task of dragging it out of the grave. Why would you go to that trouble when you can instead rejoice in what Christ has done on your behalf?
Well, what do we have? I mean, why is it that we can't enjoy our freedom?
Because we're religious.
Why?
We like
we
to
have to
work
go
at
to church
because
on Sunday
we want to feel good about ourselves.
Paul
instead
says this,
of a Christ.
For freedom, Christ frees us. For freedom, Christ frees us. Again, for freedom, Christ frees us.
He doesn't free us so that we can now get into more responsible forms of bondage.
You know, people are so concerned with what the flesh might misuse that they do not consider the truth. This attitude hinders light. They think freedom will hinder and give the incentive to obey God, but freedom and a certain hope encourages us.
Amen.
By the way, I was just quoting from my margin. It's good to make notes in your margin. I don't know where I got that from. Well, time runs fast when you're talking to us. Stan Sheridan, get Martin's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Where do you get it from, Martin?
MartinZender.com. Lots of good stuff there. Free listening, free reading. Take a look at it.
How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. You can also get it at our website at crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. Martin and I have a conference here in Chicago, September 18th through the 20th. Go to our website for more details. We will also be in Amarillo on October 9th through 11th at Hidden Falls Ranch. Go again at our website for more information. Get the Concordant version, the Concordant commentary, also from our website at paulsevangel.com. And get this book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Believe God no matter what the clergy say.